It's your boy, DJ ATL Styles. Don't be afraid of how you feel. Drop it, drop it, drop it.
About the joy you bring. departed, and you know he never showed his face again. That's why your love keeps on lifting me higher, higher and higher. I said your love keeps on lifting me higher and higher. All right. I'm so glad I finally found you. Yes, that one in a million. I can stand up and face the world. Let me tell you, your love keep on lifting me higher, higher and higher. I said your love keep on lifting me higher and higher.
Higher and Higher by my man Jackie Wilson. What's up, world? I got my homeboy, former homeboy, Kick Inside, Mr. Six Eyes on the line, man. We're trying to get something said. Go ahead, Six Eyes. Hit the floor, my man.
What's going on, brother? What's going on? I think you meant to say Sidekick. Yeah, how's it going, everybody? This is me, Six Eyes. And I know ATL, being the great host that he is, already said it, but it can go being said as many times on this special day of remembrance of the victims of 9/11. So from the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want to send out our continual strength and comfort for the families who lost their loved ones. Their memories still live on. Their deaths weren't in vain. We just ask for solidarity and coming together. You know, and since the 20 years, we have made progress of countries coming together, you know, for the common goal. So I just want to thank them for doing that, seeing the differences and seeing the errors of the wave. You know, so it is getting better, man. It's taking time, but it is getting better. But we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network want to remember those who lost their lives in 9/11. And, man, I can tell you where I was 9/11 20 years ago. I was in the control room getting ready to start my day. And my boss, John, came in. He said, Charles, we're not going to be working today. We're under attack. And I'm like, well, I just got here to work, so what's going on? I didn't know that it was something going on in New York. I didn't know. But all he said was that they were evacuating and everybody was getting ready to go home. So I left out the control room, went and got my stuff from the back, and headed out. And man, when I tell you, ATL Lewis, when I left out, man, getting ready to go home, it was chaotic, man. It was chaotic. It was so many people running, scrambling, confused, scared, not knowing what to do, not knowing what was going on. I ran by pregnant women, you know, that was running scared. You know, so man, it was just a tragedy that shouldn't have happened. You know, but one thing about it, I love America. But one thing about it, man, America talks too much. I remember watching a documentary, World's Strongest Building. And one of those buildings they talked about was the World Trade Center. The World Trade Center, indestructible, earthquake proof, it swayed to the wind. You know, this X amount of pounds of steel, how it was constructed, how thick the concrete walls were. Just talked about all the specs of the World Trade Center. But they said the only way you could take this building down was to hit it at an angle. And man, it's just sad that had to happen. You know, those people went to work were not expecting to lose their lives. So like I said, from the Six Eyes Radio Network, we send I continue with strength and comfort to the family at this difficult time, and it is getting better. So I'm complete ATL. Where were you 9/11? And just tell us, what were you doing 20 years ago? And how did 9/11 affect you?
I'm going to tell you what, y'all bring back a lot of memory, you know, Harvey Scales, my godfather, my father. Okay, let me tell you where I was at, and I think me and my brother had worked at the same place. We worked at a place here in Atlanta called, I'm trying to remember the name of the place right now, because they don't exist anymore. It was a kind of a place where they sold guitars. It was actually in Duluth, Georgia. If y'all familiar with Duluth, Georgia, they had a lot of, they were a huge retail place. But it'll come back to me, guys, and I'll probably tell you the name of the company. But I will say this. I remember listening to the radio that day, and it was unreal. We was being attacked. And I remember people saying, America's being attacked. And I'm like, attacked how? And all I know is there was commotion in New York. The Trade Center had got hit. A plane had went into a building. And next thing you know, we heard another plane had got ready to hit down in Washington, D.C. There were planes being hijacked. We didn't know what was going on. All we knew that America was in some kind of serious trouble. And I believe a lot that time at the place that we were at, which I was working at, because I was working that day, we thought that, you know, the Bible had just started turning in and saying it was the time end for the United States of America. I'm sorry that I'm saying it like that, but that's how it sounded, and that's how it was feeling. And the bad thing about it was that I had a friend which went to high school here in Georgia, a Vietnamese guy, my friend Fuji. His name was Fuji, bless his soul. He's passed on. He didn't pass in 9/11. He passed a week before 9/11. His sister worked at the Trade Center, and she didn't make it either. This brings back a lot of memories, a lot of, you know, pain for me to think about that. My prayers go out to all the families that have lost people, and I know you can never replace them, and I know your heart is heavy today because you wonder, what if they were here? If they were here to still give you encouragement? Because I heard a lot of great stories today of people who impact on people's lives, and it's sad that they're not here anymore, who actually went up there to try to save lives, lost their lives. We go over this, you know, a lot of times it seems small. It seems small to bring up all that. And going forward, we got COVID-19 now, and we have a lot of people, just to get into that, we have a lot of people who've been lost in that too. So I just want to put all my prayers out to everyone, and just keep pushing forward. Because if no one says it, I will say this. Your life is important, and to everyone. Your life is important. And your life can definitely impact somebody in some way. Just try to find some impact. Try to find your calling. But if you ain't getting to your calling, because I want to tell everybody, if you're not getting to talk, but at least say hi. Say hello. Just make yourself present. Just say something to make people know that your life meant something. Amen to that. What you think, Mr. Six-Eye? Think Six-Eye just broke out.
I'm right here.
So what we
I'm
gonna
right
do? I was just saying, I thought you broke out, but you know, I was saying that I know that.
No, I'm right
you
here.
Know,
man.
I just want everyone out there to realize that life is, you know, it's precious, and you have to spend your life the best way you can do, and just never forget, and just take these great moments, all the good times and the great moments of a piece of life, and people who lost, just remember all the great times, just remember all the great times, That's the best way I can say. That's the best advice I can give y'all.
Absolutely. Well, and as we go through this pandemic, just continue. We're not out the woods yet. Continue to wash your hands, practice social distancing, and wear that mask. Get an ACO if you can, because we're not out the woods yet. So we want you to be safe here at the Radio Network.
Right. That's another talk, 6-5. We have to talk about the vaccines.
Right. Well, let's talk about some good news. On September 14th, the 6-5 Radio Network will be turning 10 years old. So I want you to join me in the celebration of sharing 10 years on radio with the 6-5 Radio Network. I want to thank the staff, ATL, the rest of the people who work for the 6-5 Radio Network. 10 years doing it. And we're going to only get better and keep bringing you great quality programming. So anybody who listens to the station would like to give a contribution for 10 years in the business, you can go to paypal.com. The email address you'll enter is SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That is SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Give a donation. It helps keep the station going. If you utilize the Cash App, it would be $SIXEYES, digit number 2, the digit number 4. Once again, for the Cash App use, that's $SIXEYES, the digit number 2, the digit number 4. Thank you.
All right, guys. We're going to get into some music, man. Man. And since we're talking about our anniversary, let's play Tony. It's your anniversary. Do you know what today is? It's about to be 6-5 Radio anniversary. And we're going to kick it off right now with Tony.
I'd be lying if I said I never think of you, I fiend for you. When this started, I didn't think it through. Don't wanna miss a sec, I don't even wanna blink with you. Porn star sex, baby, let me make a scene with you, I'm playing, wait, no, I'm not, but I'm saying. If you should ever give me play, don't wait too long, I'm impatient. Looks like you might be the one. I know I've said that before, but this time it feels like it's love. My last bitch was a dub, I fell hard, no arrow. Think you could shot with his gun. European apparel, mama, shine bright like the sun. Cause it's perfect timing for once. But still get bitches hit me up like, why you hiding from us? It's cause,
ooh, I've been thinking of you, and I can't lie, girl, I see you in everything that I do. Ain't gon' front what they say about me, it's probably true. But still been looking for the one, is it you? Tell me, girl, is it you? Ooh, I've been thinking of you, and I can't lie, girl, I see you in everything that I do. Ain't gon' front what they say about me, it's probably true. But still been looking for the one, is it you? Tell me, girl, is it you?
I miss you dearly, I'm thinking that I should pay a visit. I know you're skeptical, my image is I stay with women. Before I met you, it was true, but these days it's different. You know I stay consistent, baby, I was made for winning. Originator of my game, ain't made of plagiarism. Page of pimping, whenever you need that late admission. I'm playing, I'm kinda not, but I'm saying. You need a guy in your life who gon' lay the pipe, super saiyan. I'm kinda lost, but I'm with you like nothing's round us at all. Hype her up every outfit, give her a round of applause. Breaking necks in the city, got everybody on pause. Lil Shorty raw, and that's why she been all in my thoughts, it's true.
Ooh, I've been thinking of you, and I can't lie, girl, I see you in everything that I do. Ain't gon' front what they say about me, it's probably true. But still been looking for the one, is it you? Tell me, girl, is it you? Ooh, I've been thinking of you, and I can't lie, girl, I see you in everything that I do. Ain't gon' front what they say about me, it's probably true. But still been looking for the one, is it you? Tell me, girl, is it you? Ooh, I got the shit to make you pass out. One session with the truth to have you gas out. Party till the morning like a frat house. Beat it like it's SmackDown. How do I blow your back out? Ooh, I got this shit to make you pass out. One session with the truth to have you gas out. Party till the morning like a frat house. Beat it like it's SmackDown. How do I blow your back out?
My head is thinking, I'm tripping and probably going crazy. Cause I mentioned you're the only one I think of lately. Leave these other hoes on red when they text me if it ain't baby. My appetite keeps growing for you, you're the one I'm craving.
Yeah. Ooh, I've been thinking of you, and I can't lie, girl, I see you in everything that I do. Ain't gon' front what they say about me, it's probably true. But still been looking for the one, is it you? Tell me, girl, is it you? Ooh, I've been thinking of you, and I can't lie, girl, I see you in everything that I do. Ain't gon' front what they say about me, it's probably true. But still been looking for the one, is it you? Tell me, girl, is it you? Ooh, yeah.
And everything I do, I see you.
It's your boy, DJ ATLL Styles.
It's your boy, DJ. Like I said, it's your boy, DJ ATLM Styles. Back here. You just got to hear my boy, Trouble Juice, but I see you, man. We do see you. Hi, everybody. We got a live set tonight, man. A live set. We just got to talk about 9/11. And we're getting ready to get more deeper into 9/11 on the Midnight G-Dance with the home host, J.T.L.M. South. All right, I see some callers on here. 216-938 and 216-456. Now, I got a question I want to put out there in the world. And y'all feel free to call me on this number, 424-243-9617. Where were you at when 9/11 happened? I mean, where were you at when you heard this whole event occur? That's the question. And then we're going to get into something else, too. So y'all have to tell this other question. The one behind me is, do you feel America is safe now than it was then? Yeah, it's your boy, your last bow. All right, can y'all, I'm going to go ahead and bring these callers in right quick. All right, let's tone it down a little bit. There we go. There we go. A little bit. All right, let's start. Hey, Six Eyes, you there? Or 216-938-716.
Yo, I'm filling in for Six Eyes. It's Cousin Sean.
Oh, what's up, Sean? How you doing, bro? What's the word, man? What's the word?
What's the word,
man? All right, we're going to get right into it.
I'm going to tell you, I remember what I was doing. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I was just about to ask you that question. But go ahead, man. I'm going to go ahead and you already know. Go ahead and say your thing because I know it's very deep. And everybody, check it out. Let them talk. Here we go.
All right, man. I remember when that went on, I was at work. And the TV was on, and I actually thought it was like a movie or a play was going on. Until they were shutting the factory. Everything was going up under emergency. Feeding home, trying to get to their loved ones, man. It was crazy, man. I couldn't believe my eyes were going up. Getting under attack. I mean,
you still there? Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me, ATL?
Yeah, well, you're kind of breaking up. I think just... Can you restart over because they couldn't hear you? Kind of was breaking in and out. Technical difficulties, but I think we fixed it now. Go ahead and speak. I'm gonna let you finish.
Okay, so what I was saying was, I remember when that happened, because I was at work and we was looking at the TV at work and we thought it was a play. We just looked it phony. So they told us that the factory was getting shut down and everybody was beating home trying to get to the level. That's about all I remember about it, man. It was just a sad day. It just crazy to see that America was attacked,
Okay. Kind of faded out there again at the end, but I do want to put some accent to what you were just saying. How I think a lot of people at work who can see TV and who couldn't see TV, because we were actually hearing it through the radio, it was weird. It didn't seem like it was a movie. It seemed just weird to everyone, because once everyone started to find out exactly what happened with the planes, that changed the whole reality of America. And I think ever since, we have a different thought process on how America now, is it truly safe? So that brings up the question that I'm finna ask you now. Do you think America is safe now since the COVID-19, or does it still have challenges?
I actually believe challenges. I don't believe there's no safer. I believe we're doing a lot of things to try to make it safer, but I don't think it's no more safer because the people that attack America is already here. So how are they going to stop?
Okay.
Want to do?
Wow. I mean, I think you hit it on the head, and I think that's the best way to really sum it up, because when you look at overall, we're not experts, but we do feel the fear, and we do feel there's still some uncomfortability. There was a poll put out on NBC, and a lot of people felt that America was going back to itself, and it was on the right path, and they felt that America is now still safe. So the expert came out and said that he felt that no, we're still not there. And I can probably look at a lot of things that's going on in Chicago, LA, New York, here in Atlanta, protesting and all that. You can tell that we're a long way from securing that situation of America being fully safe like that. But I ain't gonna hold y'all right now. We're gonna go ahead and jump into some music. We're gonna jump into DJ Khaled and Chris Brown. What do you mind? do you mind, y'all? Let's get it.
Don't play yourself.
I'm so done with you. Done. Sick of it.
I'll buy a new one. And I'll buy you one too. Because it's a cold world. Bundle up.
What you think? I'm going to just lay around here and just chill all day? I got to get money.
You can have it all.
You sick of the marble floors?
Yes.
You sick of them high ceilings? Or ever play yourself?
And this phone, huh? This is the phone you love, right? Make love to this.
It costs to live in this house. And you ain't cheap either.
Ya yo estoy cansado, no puedo más. Me voy.
Another one.
Another one.
We the best music.
Yo, he ain't messing with no average chick. Pop, pop. He got Nicki, he know that he hit the jackpot. Eight baller trying to score, check them shot clocks. But I hit them with them brawn Iguodala blocks. Eat the cake, gimme, suck on my toes, yes. Hitting them home runs, I be like, go Mets. I want a dude that still kiss me when he mad. Type that caught me diamonds, he could miss me with them bags.
Girl, we been right here, thinking about it all night. Baby, you should be up in my bed. Ooh, do you mind, do you mind? Baby, you,
DJ,
do you mind?
Khaled.
Do you mind, do you mind? I'm just tryna get to know ya. Get a little closer, baby, poster.
I'ma keep my promise, never treat you like a groovy. Calamari dinners got you eating raw sushi. Still in the trap, but I like my bitches bougie. Two cups of styrofoam, excuse me, little mama. I can hold you down, be your friend and your lover. You want watches, new Versaces, you want Celine? Top back, streaming money, ain't a thing.
Seen the 2G wagons in my driveway.
face shine. Two black bottles by my fireplace. Fell out with your people, so you took the bitches down. Instagram ain't been the same since you so distant now. Took you shopping in other places that I won't name. First time your friends really got to see ball main. 20 million cash, seen that there with my two eyes. We the best, and I told you this back in 05.
I'm trying to get to know ya. Get a little closer, maybe post up.
I'm just tryna get to know ya. Get a little closer, baby, post up.
When I'm in the jungle, I need a queen. I'm a king.
Yes. It was a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful night. Break out the champagne. Everybody get a glass. Let's start it off sexy. What do you say? And all the ladies say. And all the ladies say. I like that. And all the ladies say, welcome to the champagne life, where trouble is a bubble in a champagne glass. Dreams and reality are one and the same. And we gonna do it like this.
Got an addiction for life in this baby. Like every day is my birthday. Know what I'm getting. Can reserve time. Make this look easy, sexy baby. Don't you dare act like
me living that champagne life. Sexier than a regular class. Oh, it's a party. Reserved for top notch. Let's bring it back.
Oh, hey. Said it's all about this back on
DJ ATLM Styles back here with the debut of the show, Midnight G-Jams, where we doing that deep discussion tonight on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We're talking about remember where you were when 9/11 happened. And also the top question after that is, do you think America is safer? All right, let me bring the guys back in on. Okay, follow up,
all right,
follow up. What's up, Six Eyes?
All right, we here. I got Nikki Duckworth. You remember her, y'all work together. I got my cousin Sean,
mm-hmm.
And me watching out for a 323 number calling in.
Okay, definitely. Right. It's your boy DJ TLM right. Styles. Go ahead, Six, I'm going to let you run this right now. Go ahead.
All right, well, ladies first, so y'all get reacquainted again. How you doing, Duck?
What's up? It's me.
What's up?
Hi, ATL.
What's up? How you doing? Great to hear your voice.
I'm great.
Beautiful voice. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. Hi, Cousin Sean.
What's going on, Duck? How you doing?
Chilling.
Trying to break him in the radio. He got on Clubhouse today, so I'm trying to break him in the radio. He can fill in for me when I don't feel like doing it.
Y'all got to excuse me. I don't have COVID. I do respiratory therapy sometimes.
Oh,
that's a great therapy.
blow something this way.
You asked, where was I? So first, let me say I'm Nikki Black Butterfly Duckworth. Always said I'm black. I am a very inappropriate person. I laugh. I'm a laugher. I laugh. So honestly, when 9/11 happened, I was in my living room. I was walking from my hallway into my living room on the phone with my cousin, actually. And I looked at my TV and I saw this news break, and the first thing I saw was the first plane hit the building, and then it was like, oh, shit, the other plane hit the building, and I busted out laughing. I'm going to tell you what I did. I busted out laughing, and I was like, holy shit, the plane just crashed into that, like, because I was in so much shock. Because I'm one of those people, like, did that really just happen? I'm one of those. Like, did that really just happen? So, yeah, I was at home in the living room laughing. Until I realized how many people died. Like, I didn't know what building that was. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know what happened for real until I knew what happened. You know what I mean? So that's where I was at. I was at home.
Yeah, I was getting, like I said, before everybody, if you just joined us, this is Six Eyes. And be looking out for that 323 ATO. Bring them in. That's Ernest T. Okay, so 9/11. I was in the control room getting ready to get the day started. My boss, John, came in. He said, Charles, we won't be working today. We're under attack. I said, what do you mean we're under attack? I said, we just got here. So I'm thinking somebody then broke into the museum. And, you know, I didn't know what was going on. So all I know is he said that everybody's evacuating. The Rock Hall is evacuating. Everybody was evacuating. So all I can remember is going back to my office, get my coat, and leave it. And when I tell you it was pandemonium inside the building, it was pandemonium outside the building. When I left, people were running for their lives. Everybody was scared. I saw pregnant women run. You know, so it was very scary, and it was an unfortunate event. So that's where I was 9/11, 20 years ago. Has 323 called in yet?
No, he has not called in yet. But I will come in on this a little bit more and just say one thing on the end of what you just said to piggyback. And definitely, Ms. Blackwood, thank you for calling in on the show tonight. And I hope, definitely love to have your voice bless the mic again. Just can't.
Yeah, well, we're just adding her. We're adding her to the platform.
The one,
so you're here now.
Right.
So
the
you're with
going, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so she's
there
adding.
There was another question that.
So if I'm
sorry,
not here to be you and the duck, I said if I'm not here to be you and the duck,
out.
And then we're together, it's the three of us. And Sean is on board,
right,
too.
Oh, okay. What I wanted to say was the duck work, because it was another part of the question. How safe do you feel America is since 9/11?
Is that for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so y'all know, Donald, come on, man. First, let me say this. I was not scared when 9/11 happened. I'm going to be honest. It didn't shake me. It didn't scare me. I wasn't. That wasn't. No. I am a proud American. Y'all should know this. I blatantly speak about these things. I'm also, what people don't know is, at one point in my life, I wanted to be a historian. I wanted to be a history professor. I love history. And one thing I love about history is it shows patterns. And one thing I know about my country is we don't get attacked. And one thing we really don't do is lose, for real. So I've never felt like, oh, they're going to come over here fucking with us, because I've never felt that way. I'm American. It's like, I'm American, bitch. Like, we bullies. I know my country. My country is full of shit. We're bullies. So I feel like they got more in our business because that's what they wanted to do. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it was an inside job. I don't feel like anybody's bold enough to attack us for real. They haven't been bold enough to attack us since the Boston Tea Party. Like, the Brits was the last people to get their butts with by the new America, you know? So I look at my country and was like, they figured out a new way to get in my business. You know what I mean? And do I feel safe? I feel just as safe as I felt before. I never felt like we were in jeopardy. I'm not that person. I gotta tell the truth. That's my truth. I don't feel that every day. These are my opinions, you know, but I never felt in danger.
Okay. It's your boy, DJ ATLM Styles. Just heard Miss Blackwell. Oh boy. It's just been one of these weeks. But, guys, it's just been one of these weeks, and I just want to say this. What you just piggyback on is something that I believe Americans, that we all are Americans first, and I have to keep do pushing this to everybody, because we live here, this is who we are, and this is going to African Americans, it's going to anyone who lives here and knows this is all you know,
right.
This is where you are. So I think a lot of times we get to a point where we start talking anti-American, and I don't think we understand that you can't be anti to something that this is all you are. This is who you are.
I mean, actually, the people can be anti whatever they choose to be. I choose to be pro-American because I'm American. You know what I mean? Like, I just choose to be super pro-American because that's what I know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I'm American. I meet other people. Brits are proud to be British. French are people from France are proud to be French. I'm proud to be American. Like, I don't understand. I mean, I understand why people have their reasonings for, you know, being anti-American. I personally feel that they should go somewhere else then. That's how I feel. Like, if you don't like America, go where you'll be happy. Because it's America for me.
All right.
Be on the lookout.
We also got that new caller that called in on 216-323. Just reached in. Six, I just want to let you know. So
bring him in.
One can speak.
Press one.
Yeah, this is Ernest T calling on the Six Eyes Radio show. My name is Ernest T. I got the Ernest T Takeover on the Six Eyes Radio network. How y'all doing this evening?
We doing all right, brother.
Doing great,
back,
all right.
Y'all heard y'all was coming back to work.
Yeah, I heard y'all was talking about 9/11 and people being non-American. Yeah, everybody has a choice of who they want to be. You know, they want to, like people say, you don't want to be America, be an American. You can get on the next plane and leave America. You know. Yeah, every country has its ups and downs. You know, but everybody has their own opinion. You know, you can't knock a person for having his own will and his own opinion about how he feel about, you know, where he want to be, how he feel about America, you know.
Well, actually, I do. I absolutely verbally assassinate people who try to talk about my country. I do. I welcome them to leave immediately, expeditiously, leave the country then. Like, I don't, that's like you talking about my mom to me, or you talking about my dad. Like, I didn't choose to be American, just like I didn't choose my parents. I woke up and I'm in America and I'm American and I check my heritage and I'm native to America. Like, that means that this land is your land, this land is my land. If you don't like it, as an adult, you have the option to live elsewhere. No one has told anyone they could move. I don't remember them putting a restriction on people moving. They can go wherever they want to go. Go to Norway, go to Cuba, go to Jamaica, go wherever you want to go. Wherever you feel will make you happier than America. But don't come talking about it to me like I'm supposed to hate my... You're not going to just assassinate my country to me, man. Nope. I don't take that.
Right.
I'm very protective of my country.
Right. So, Ernest T, the question of the night, first of all, welcome back. The question that I asked you three times, when are you coming back to the 6 Hours Radio Network? That's the first question we have to answer because your listeners been wanting to know. When is Ernest T Takeover coming back?
Yeah, first question, you know, I'm coming back, but I got to have time to come back now. You know, I got to fit it in my schedule, you know.
Right. That's good. I'm glad you're working. But I've been taking care of your child support bills from that show. I'm still paying child support. So we'll talk about that off air.
Okay.
Sean is on the phone. Cousin Sean is on the phone. Say hello, Sean.
What's going on, Ernest T? What's happening?
What's going on, Cousin Sean? What's up, man?
Oh, man, just kicking it on the phone with Mr. ATL and Miss Buck over there, just chilling.
That's all we can do.
Yeah, I'm listening to Miss America over there. I hear over there.
I promise you I am. But see, you know what? I'm going to say this. What I've recognized is I've watched people all across the globe mimic my culture, like culturally, their cultural differences. So when I get to be proud of being who I am, I get to be proud of a collective group of people who created jazz, who created gospel, who created R&B, who created rock and roll, who created how everyone wants to dress. Everyone wants to look like us. Everyone wants to walk like us. We have the smoothest men. We have the most beautiful women. To me, we're just as smooth as our men. We're charming, we're articulate, we dress nice, we smell good. Like, We have great food. Like, why wouldn't I want to be proud to be American? Like,
right.
To be American is to be raw. Like, everybody else want to be me. So why the fuck wouldn't I be happy to be me?
Yeah,
I'm proud to be him.
So, you know, and when I look at how we've really changed the world being North American. So once people recognize that we're on the continent of North America, which includes Canada and Mexico, which includes the Mayans, then maybe they'll understand why I'm like, I don't need to be from somewhere else. I mean, I ain't knocking other places, but I'll be knocking other places. If they come knocking me, I will talk about their countries. I woke up and could flick lights, and I ate from a silver and gold spoon. I got to be a trust fund baby. I get to cuss and say what I want to. I ain't got to walk with my head down. I can be just as bold and beautifully me and be a proud of why, because I'm American. So...
And we have a special song for you, Duck. So this is for you. Now, Ernest C., the question is, where were you 9/11? If anybody else at your house want to answer the question, they can do so. Where were you 9/11 20 years ago?
20 years ago when 9/11 happened, I was working at Daniel's Furniture on West 25th when 9/11 happened. I was watching it on TV. And with everybody's questions that everybody was wondering when it first happened, was it a movie?
Because
that was shocked everybody. Everybody thought it was a movie when the first plane happened, because everybody was thinking, this must be a new movie that's coming out. But when the second plane hit the towers, that's when America knew we was under attack.
Now,
it was a shock to everybody because everybody did believe that America was under attack.
And if you remember that day, you took me to work that day. That's when you had the red truck and you took me to work that day.
Yeah.
Now, the crazy thing about that, I didn't even get the day started. I went in there, I went to my office, I took my coat off, I went to the control room. We didn't get the day started. We're under attack. I'm going back to the office, get my coat, leaving. But there was a movie, there was a documentary, rather. It was called The World's Strongest Building. One of these buildings was the World Trade Center. How thick the concrete barriers was, how thick and how much steel it was made out of, the whole construction of the building, how it was designed to sway to be earthquake free, et cetera. And they said the only way this building can be hit and taken down is hit at an angle. And I said from that point, I said, America talks too much. I said, because you don't think these foreigners have TVs. And they do have TVs. You know, so it was just crazy.
Right.
And then soon after that, 9/11 happened. You know?
Right.
And it's crazy.
So
yeah,
let me get this right.
Because...
So how many people on this panel feel that 9/11 was an outside job?
Yeah, that's where I'm about to go with it, because I think it was an outside job. I don't think it was.
Well, I ain't never knew 3,000 people not to show up for work at the same time. 3,000 people.
Because what I will let you know is, even though I did laugh when it first happened, being the Uber geek that I am, I did investigate. And it is very creepy, the things that happened after 9/11 to the witnesses that told the truth about how they heard the explosions, and they were talking about the explosive paint. 9/11, that was us. That's just like, okay, so when you watch the world news and you watch the interaction of these characters, because that's what it is. They put on a show and we're just involved.
With that being said,
when Putin says that, so the United States, that's when everybody felt like World War III was, it's not as all, anyway. It was one of my favorite little scenarios. I was like, this is interesting. Let's see how they're going to scare the fucking people. So they had Kim Jong, Putin, and Trump going at it. Boom. Well, what they don't know is that they had already talked to Putin, and they asked Putin, because ISIS is America. Once you realize, like, I wanted to be a spy growing up. So it's not like I'm talking, like, about, I already knew, like, no, we really do weird shit just like your cousins did weird shit to fuck with you or your mom and them. We do the same goddamn thing. Our government is just as slimy as everybody else. But anyway, we just make the shit look a little better. Make a long story short, first and foremost, ISIS is an American-based CIA-funded organization. With that being said, they asked that man, Vladimir Putin, who is one of my favorite characters in this. I vote for the bad guy a lot of times. Don't judge me. I don't care. He's hilarious. Because they asked him, Putin, how do you feel about ISIS? That man said, it is my God's job to forgive them and my job to send them to him. He let America know, you come your ass over here playing, we killing everybody. And they mean that shit. That was us. That was comfortably us fucking with us to make us feel as if we're unsafe so that they can get in our business. So they can put all these cameras and Big Brother, and now we got to take 7,000 years to go through the airport, and they got to run all the damn shit over my tennis shoes so they ain't exploding on my feet, whatever the fuck they think going to happen. I don't know. No, it was just a way to start whatever they want to call the quote-unquote New World Order. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I mean, but we've always been under a martial law. You know what I'm saying? We really, this ain't a democracy. We're under pretty much a dictatorship. Like, do what the fuck they say do. You know what I mean? They just give us a little more freedom than other places, but we really not. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, that was some, and they killed those people, man. America triflingly killed those people in New York, and that was disgusting. They set those people up.
So what about Flight 93 that flew over Philadelphia and turned around? What about that?
Okay, I answer that question. The whole thing with 9/11 was nothing but a big setup. Just like you said, it wasn't nothing but a big setup. If you noticed, before 9/11 happened, when the Trade Center first got bombed at the bottom of the World Trade Center, they said out of their own mouth, if you listen, watch the tape again, you cannot damage the Trade Center from the bottom. You have to hit it from the top. You already told the terrorists what to do. I mean, America tell terrorists what to do. But then when it happened, America like, oh, we don't know nothing. We ain't got nothing to do with it. We didn't tell them nothing.
Those people were trained in America. They were trained in America.
They were trained in America, right.
Yeah. At the end of the day, what I'm not going to do is pretend like my country don't be in peace. Man, we're America, man. We're America. They trained and learned how to fly them planes in America. Okay.
Yeah.
We do mind control. So these things that people try to act like don't. Yes, they have mind control. They set up the Manchurian candidates and the conspiracy theories. They be right. Okay. Like, they set us up so that they could set us up for some more stuff, and the plan can play out the way they need it to play out. Like, that's just, this is America. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Childish Gambino said it best. This is America. Like, once you understand that the puppets and the show, and you can look at the show, and it is fake news. The media, we have propaganda. Ours is just a little bit prettier and different than others. We're no different from those other countries that we talk about.
Yeah.
I said, we just make it look a little bit more smooth. You know what I'm saying? We're a little more arrogant with it because we forget that America, the United States of America, that was founded by Britain, that we're a young country. We're a new country. We're not an old country like Britain or France. We're a new country. And we came through like those hard-body, nasty new people. Okay? We came through like the crazy cousin with the guns and the money. And we bullies. So we make sure that we play games with our people the same way they play the games with the COVID and all the other stuff. They play a nasty game.
So let's shift gears and talk about the COVID. So what's your all take on the COVID?
I'll wait.
You
want to
go ahead? I'm gonna answer this. And the COVID is nothing but a big conspiracy. Let me tell you something about the COVID. What they said. Oh, the COVID is a plague. Okay, that's the first thing that came out of their mouth. You know, if you notice, a plague will kill everybody in a country. But it only killed certain people at certain spots. So it can't be a plague. A plague takes out everybody. Okay? You got to understand what a plague is. A plague takes out everybody. Oh, the COVID is a plague. Okay. Well, then they tell you, oh, it's only a certain amount of people that's dying. Okay. How is a plague, but it's only killing a certain amount of people? Then here comes the next lie. Oh, only certain people can get shots. Huh? Then if people start looking at what's going on with the COVID, why can't children take the shot? They make kids go to school. You got to take the measles shot. You got to take a mumps shot. You got to take all these particular shots before you go to school. Then they turn around and tell you, oh, we can't give the shots to kids. What? But it's a plague, but you can't give a shot to kids. What are you telling the people? I want people to answer that question.
Hmm. All right, Nikki, you've been a nurse for 25 years. So why, if the kids can't get the shot, their immune system is better than ours, so why can't they get the shot?
So this is how I feel about COVID-19. COVID-19 pissed me off. It saddened me because I watched them create a pure panic across the globe. Once I realized that it was a global game, I knew that this was not just United States based. It was pretty much a population control thing, and it was a 1%er game, because I could make you go in the house. They shut down the world, like they shut down the whole world, and then they started playing with money. And what really made me disheartened is being in the medical field for 25 years, having a top-notch mom as a nurse and my aunts and everyone else, and I really was pretty cool at what I did. So I understand things like universal precautions. I worked through SARS. I worked through Ebola. I worked through H1N1. These were all pandemics that we went through, that I've worked through. So COVID-19 is not the first pandemic that we've had. Like, there was Ebola, there was SARS, there were things of that nature. Like I said, H1N1. There were all these different viruses going out and going around, and, you know, we're all going to die. So every couple of years, they have a pandemic, and we're all going to die. So, and, you know, I think it was so sad to me because this is not something that will kill you, even though my dad died. My stepdad died of COVID.
Right.
He died of COVID. Right. He took the COVID vaccine, and then he died. Okay? So he took the COVID vaccine, contracted COVID, and then he died. So that was May. They put him in the coma on May 25th. And he passed a week later, you know, like a week later. After looking at so this is how this works. They pretty much scared people with one of the most low budget illnesses that I've ever seen. It's really a mixture. I'm not going to say it. So once you study virology, you'll understand that. It's a low grade pneumonia, but a high grade flu, because you can have pneumonia type symptoms, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
It's not deadly. it's very uncomfortable. And of course, if your system is compromised, if you are overweight, if you are unhealthy, this has to do with your immune system. So the people who are unhealthy, I'm pretty much a health nut, so I kind of don't care about these things. I'm a very holistic person. I try to take care of myself. With that being said, people that are on heavy medications, dialysis, the elderly, these people were in jeopardy. People with breathing conditions, these people are in jeopardy. Well, guess what? They're in jeopardy every flu season. So what people didn't recognize is that during flu season, they shut down the world during flu season. That was through influenza season.
Bingo.
So
by you being
646,000 people per year annually die of influenza alone. 646,000. That's our annual worldly 646,000. 646,000. And so that's over 500,000 people will die just from the regular flu.
Wow.
They stopped diagnosing people with influenza. They started making everything COVID-related, and then they started playing with numbers. And the numbers still were not the equivalent of the mortality rate of the flu. So that really pissed me off, because now you have these people who are mentally, now you're telling people, so when it comes to universal precautions, when you have something that is supposedly, allegedly this contagious, we have to wear what is called isolation gear, and we have to dispose of this in biohazard bags, and it has to be disposed of biohazardly. Red bags, we don't even touch it. You fully go in, you come out, don't touch anything. You cannot stop the world. That was like trying to put people in a bubble, and it was really sickening to see people be afraid of catching a cold. Like, are you really that scared? Because what the body naturally does, the body naturally builds up immunities and antibodies to fight these types of things. So if your body, it was really pretty much survival of the fittest, and if you really listen to the CDC, that's what they told you. People who ended up being infected with COVID-19, whether it was Tom Hanks or the Cuomo brothers in New York, and, you know, Idris Elba had it, all these superstars and things had COVID-19, and they comfortably were fine. You know, they didn't die, and they let you know that it is more mental than it is physical. You will lose your taste buds, but, I mean, hey, that happens when you catch the flu, too. You can't taste anything. We act like we've never been sick before. And so it was really concerning to see people be so, and then I really got super concerned when I saw the rest of the world laughing at us. Because it really showed how ignorant people were to some things. Like, I was very disappointed that, and I'm disappointed that they're pushing this vaccine and it's really more or less to do more separation, because now it's the vaccinated and the non-vaccinated, and we're not going to be able to travel if we don't take this vaccine. So what I suggest to people is that you try to get your body in the best shape that you can. Make sure that you up your vitamin C. Make sure you up your multivitamins. Make sure that you're working out. You know what I'm saying? Drink a lot of water. So if you do take these vaccines, you can flush your system, because you don't know what they're putting in you, because the vaccine cannot be approved by the FDA because it has to be tested for at least 10 years. So how they came up with this shit in 5 minutes, I don't know. They won't even give out free insulin, but they're paying you $100 to take this experimental vaccination. I have watched a lot of them. They experiment on us. I'm American. We know that this
Tuskegee
is what they
Institute.
Do.
Tuskegee Institute. All you got to do is
it's
look
not
at
even
Tuskegee.
Just Tuskegee. They experimented with the lady's vaginal parts, with the OB. They experiment. They just experiment. People don't know when crystal meth first came out. They had that down there in San Francisco. Then white men kept saying they was doing these new drugs. So they put stuff in they do experiments. That's what we're known for. Let me see the guinea pigs. And they usually use poor people for it. What did they
this
do? They
DJ
used the poor people
in
the
I do want to come
people.
In on. I do want to come in on the end of something you were saying, and because I've talked to some people, and I know some people have came on this show, and we wanted to separate that part of history from this is a whole entirely different situation. from, and we don't want people to be scared of the vaccine, and we want people to make go and do research and try to figure out what's best for them. And this is my question to everyone out here, because the problem you just hit on the real key of everything, Miss everything, you hit it right in, Miss. The problem is so many different agencies and so many different people who have over this vaccine, who are under this vaccine, who are sending misinformation from both sides. Biden said, hey, you listen to the scientists. The scientists are saying things too. So
yes.
It's so much distraction where I'll put this in play because this is a serious matter and we have to look at this very seriously. I had to put this out here, and I tell people always to try to build your immune system. I don't care what you're listening to out there, building your immune system. But if you can get out there and you want to do research on this vaccine, you know, go do your research and see what it benefits you. Because the thing is, we're dealing with a very bad virus that actually is taking people alive. I mean, I can sit here and tell you how I feel that it's like a propaganda, but the real results of people dying from it is true. So,
okay, and what I'm
going to
tell you is, if
problems.
You're going to give me the people that are dying, then give me the So if you're going to give me a mortality rate, then you have to give me a survival rate, and there are more survivors than there are the mortality rate. The reason that my dad died from COVID-19, number one, he would have received a kidney.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, my dad's system was extremely compromised. Not only had he had a kidney transplant, he was diabetic and he suffered from CHF and COPD. So also, my dad likes to eat his junk food and his immune system was trash. It could not fight. He did not have the antibodies to fight the virus.
Right,
unfortunately,
right.
This virus is survival of the fittest. If you're an unhealthy person, you have all rights to be concerned. Absolutely.
Well,
you should absolutely this is just as deadly. They tell so. I've done so. Unless we're gonna talk medical, because I'm speaking facts. I'm not giving my opinion. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that factually, lose a certain amount
but
of people.
But you have heard that people
who
did not have compromised immune system died from this. This COVID-19
do
is
you know
too.
How many people
so.
Have a compromised immune system and don't know they have a compromised immune system?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know
sir,
that most people
numbers.
With multiple sclerosis go to sleep one night and they wake up and just can't move? That is
mm-hmm.
that's an autoimmune deficiency.
I agree
system.
With you. No, I'm not
problem.
Disagreeing.
Do you know how many people have
also,
lupus that go undiagnosed?
You do have to put everything else in perspective, too. And that's the problem. That's why I'm saying everyone's saying facts. We're looking at a thing right now where people who are healthy dying from it and people who are not healthy dying from it, and then children are being affected. And it's across the board.
The truth is,
like
if you're healthy, you can't die
different
from it.
Faces.
That's not true. There's
huh?
no. That's not true. If you're healthy, you're not going to die from it. That's not true. If you're healthy, you're going to live. That's the truth.
Mm. Okay. Well, I mean, I got some people here that I can tell you right now that was healthy going in, they had all their checkups and the immune system was compromised by the ovarian. And they caught it even. They
and
caught
so when
it,
I also explained to
with,
you and I've
with,
tried to teach this before on previous shows, that when they said that COVID-19 was more of a mental, so you can mentally make, you have never figured out, you've never heard that people can have cancer and they don't know, and then once they get diagnosed, they die. So
don't get me wrong.
Mentally,
you're right about that.
You
that
can
comfortably
tear yourself into
right.
a super
right.
illness because mentally you're thinking, oh, my God, I have COVID. I'm going to die. So what you'll do is you'll start to affect your system even though you didn't have to do that to yourself. Because my sister had COVID-19 twice, and she actually gave birth while testing COVID positive.
Well, let me ask you something. This
and
is
most
something
people don't
ask.
Have many symptoms. So I'm just going to give
right.
you
well,
some
let
facts,
me ask
though.
You,
go ahead.
Let me ask you devil's advocate on this since you said this. So do you think that since the vaccine is out there, because this is the thing, do you think the vaccine in some ways and somehow does help some people, and then sometimes it might not help some people, it might not help certain sick people? Because I just want to see, do you think everybody's makeup is different to handle this vaccine? Do you understand the question?
You said
I asked?
What? I'm sorry. What was the question?
I'm saying, do you think that this vaccine might help some people, and it might not help others, but it would help somebody?
So
who might give them a
anti-vaxxer. I stopped getting my children vaccinated after they got the vaccines that I had as a child. I don't believe in vaccinations. Unfortunately, my son had to get the COVID-19 vaccine to go back to school, and I couldn't stop that. There was nothing I could do personally. I am a holistic person, so I don't ever feel putting foreign things in your body helps. That doesn't make sense to me. I feel like our body naturally creates antibodies, and so that we can fight off these things. There has been that you very rarely hear people having the chicken pox or the measles or the mumps or, you know, all those things that were old, you know, the diseases of old. You know, our body evolves and we naturally, nature takes its course. So I don't take flu shots. I don't do those things. And like I said, I very rarely get sick. I'm a very healthy person. I do yoga. I like to work out. I like to eat healthy and try to, you know, keep my body pretty cool. You understand? So, if a person gets I would have to get the vaccine personally. Nikki, will you take the vaccine? Yes, because I want to travel and I'm not dumb. They already let it be known. You're not going to be able to travel if you didn't take the vaccine. You see what I'm saying? I would tell people that if they're going to take the vaccine, they need to prepare for taking the vaccine, because if you're unhealthy and you're not doing your body right, you might just be in trouble. It's not going to change. But what I'm going to tell you is that as of August of this year, the recovery rate of COVID-19 was 97% to 99%. No one's dying from COVID, man. Like, it's the same people that are dying from COVID would have probably died in pneumonia flu season anyway, before COVID became COVID. That's
right.
What I'm trying to
say.
So unless you can understand that these, instead of them, so there's a mortality rate every year for 25 years, I've watched people die from around September till about April. More people are going to die on my watch in those months than the rest of the year. A lot of people don't die in the summer. It's really weird. It's weird as fuck. Don't ask me. This is how that goes. We understand that this is not good. You know what I'm saying? This is flu season. It's pneumonia season. It's all these. The people with compromised systems are in trouble, and those are our dialysis patients. Those are our, you know, patients with COPD, patients with CHF, people with asthma, especially, you know, lung situations when you have going on. COVID affects the lungs just like pneumonia does, but like I said, it's a little more fact, because COVID is an actual its own entity in itself. I explained that my stepdad, it ravaged his lungs. And what happened was his body wasn't strong enough and didn't have enough antibodies, and his immune system wasn't strong enough to fight that back. But it also shows how being on all these medications and things can affect you. My dad was on a bunch of medications because he had had a kidney transplant. They had to take him off of the kidney medicine because the kidney medicine counteracted the COVID medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually how medications work.
Mm-hmm.
One medication
will
counteract the other medication. So if they're all supposed to be helping you, why can't they all work together? What do you mean? So they had to take him off his kidney medication, put him on dialysis, to put him on the COVID treatment, and guess what? That made the COVID go crazier. And that was after he took the vaccine, sir.
Wow,
the vaccine
wow.
is what killed
well,
my
let
dad.
Let me ask you something.
So
let
if
me
we
ask
talk
you something.
About the COVID vaccine, COVID didn't kill my dad. The COVID vaccine killed my dad.
Okay, so you say it that way. Let's ask this, everybody. And I really want, and I know I want the other gentleman to come in, but I do want Nikki to really come on this. In what position, since you knowing what you know, what would you say if you was in the position of authority? What would you tell American people? What would you tell them to do with them with their self situation? Should they take the vaccine or not take the vaccine? Because you said that you got things you got to do. But what would you tell them? What would be the best matter, the best, healthiest matter, the most safest matter for you to tell them? Because I think that's the problem, and I think everyone is on the fence because there's not enough good information and information that's being consistent to make people feel comfortable about each side of this. If you're not vaccinated, you feel like you're losing. If you're vaccinated, you feel like you're losing. That's what I just want you to say, and I just think that someone needs to come out and say something that makes sense on both sides to say that there's a vital line for this situation. And I was wondering, do you have something, Nikki, since you're in that field, do you have something that you feel that the American people really need to hear that really can put them in the right perspective, even if they want to go get vaccinated and if they don't want to be vaccinated?
When it comes to this, this is how I feel. I know that there are people who are comfortably saying they're not taking the vaccination. They're not going to do it. I'm not one of those people. Why? Because I can see what's happening. They're going to have it to where if you're not vaccinated, so it's kind of like when they talked about the mark of the beast, and I'm just tell the truth. It's the same. Are you vaccinated or not? You see what I'm saying? So what they're trying to do is separate vaccinated people over here, non-vaccinated people over here. If you want to travel, you need to be vaccinated. If you want to get your passport, you need to be vaccinated. So I want to travel. There are things I want to do. There's places I want to go. So I'm comfortably going to take the vaccine. However, I will mentally, because, you know, it's a chance. That's why I never took the flu vaccines and things like that. It's a chance that you can get sick. You know what I'm saying? From taking, you're putting a foreign body into your body, and your body naturally is going to want to reject foreign things that come into your body. That's what your body does. It's like, get this out of, what is this? Get it out of here. So my suggestion would be, if you're planning to take the vaccine, you probably need to prepare yourself physically and mentally to be able to fight this off. And when I say physically and mentally, people are so stressy. And they're so death-oriented, like, thank God I woke up. Like, damn, you just woke up thinking about dying? Like, hey, this is a great, I don't know. But people are obsessed with death. And so, first of all, you need to recognize, look, I'm not going to die when I take this, okay? So it's not going to kill me. That's number one. It's comfortable. I've heard so far what I've heard, it feels more like a tetanus shot because it makes your arm very sore. So you need to prepare for, you know, soreness. Like I said, I would say drink a lot of orange juice, drink a lot of water, try to flush your system, make sure you take your vitamins. People need to try to acclimate to a healthier lifestyle mentally, physically, and spiritually. You see what I'm saying? Like, because it's the mental thing that affects the dis-ease in your body is a disease in your system. So, you know, you have to kind of like try to balance yourself wholly to be able to understand, I'm not going to die from this. I'm not going to die from this. And if I want to move around, I'm probably going to have to take this. I don't know. I would tell people to consult their doctors or whoever they trust, you know, when it comes to taking these things. I haven't made the decision to take it yet, so I can't say what Nikki's going to do because I haven't made a decision of what I'm doing. You see what I'm saying? Like, I promise you, I'm pushing it to the limit. That's my truth. But I would suggest to people that they learn a healthier lifestyle. You know, you can't eat the McDonald's all day, every day. You know, you can't drink all the Kool-Aid and all the Pops and all the Pepsis and all the, you got to have to really get some water, you know, some tea. You need to get some proper rest. You might need to get you a little exercise regimen, a couple of vitamins to try to fight off whatever they're going to put in your body, because we don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So the other gentleman, well, I know he wanted to speak, so I'm going to give him the chance to get on the floor and talk to what he thinks about the situation.
Yeah, this is the whole problem about the COVID. Okay. They said, the CDC said, if you take the first COVID shot, there's another variant called the Delta that strain is coming out. So if you take this shot, what is it going to do about the Delta variant? They said it's not going to work. So why are they forcing people to take a shot which is not going to even help the next variant that's coming out? And just like the person that's in the medical field, they force the people, it's called conquer and divide, okay? They telling you, oh, you have to take a shot, okay, which is making you go against your constitution, right? They're forcing you to take something that you don't want to take. If you want to go here, you got to take it, okay? Then if you really step back and look at everything, okay, this is what I want to ask people. On public transportation, you have to wear a mask. But if you go to a restaurant, you don't have to wear a mask for the COVID. So what is the big difference? You're still in the same space. So I want people to answer that question. What is the difference? They want you to wear a mask in one place, but they don't want you to wear a mask in another place.
I tell you.
Well, that gets into another argument that I know we had with the scientists is that, and again, this is where a lot of this problem is. There's so many people, communication, and so many different breakdowns. Some Dr. Fauci, which is over this whole thing, the COVID people who are on the CDC, said that you can have 5 or 6 masks on, 3 masks on. Still's not going to protect you from the COVID-19 on a variant or whatever.
Okay, so first of all, once you understand a virus, we have a virus. So here's the deal. Right. There was absolutely no way to sanitize the entire earth. It's no way to use universal precautions to the entire earth. I watch so much cross-contamination. So if I have to go to school to understand cross-contamination, if the chefs have to go to school to understand cross-contamination, they did not give one cross-contamination class to anybody on this earth. They did not do an emergency cross-contamination class on the fucking emergency broadcast system or nothing. I watch people have a mask on, touch the mask, wear the same mask. Now, mind you, when we wear our masks, we throw them in the garbage. We have never worn the same mask ever in the history of everdom. That would instantly have gotten my license taken. If the state came in there or OSHA came in there and I had a mask on and I went into an isolated room where someone had meningitis or some airborne virus that was infectious, infection control, and I would take that mask off or walk into another room with that mask on, they'd instantly fire me.
Why?
Because it's cross-contamination.
Bingo. Thank you. She just answered everybody's question. That's what I'm saying. You go in one place, they tell you, oh, you got to wear a mask. You take it off. You go another place. Oh, you're terminated.
But let me show you cross-contamination.
So
here goes.
So many people.
I'm going to show you everything that's cross-contaminated. You ready?
That are speaking on stuff they really don't know what they're talking about. And I think a lot of this stuff has gotten out, and it causes so much confusion towards regular people that you got.
So here's the deal.
You got these people saying that, and you got these people saying this.
Well, here's
and then
the
you
deal.
Get
this
into
is how cross contamination works. Let me just show you from your house.
Much more worse. So, are some of these things that she just said very important?
that is one of the major reasons why some people might be dead today, might have caught the COVID-19 and probably the variant, is because the person is still wearing the same mask that he's been wearing the whole darn month.
But I'm just going to show, but if you be quiet, I'll show you cross-contamination. Let me show you how cross-contamination works. Rule number one. You have to do proper. You have to do. You have to do proper hand washing.
Hold on, hold on. One mic.
Can you sit down and educate everyone? No, I think that that might be the problem. Maybe that is a no. Maybe it's not possible. But what is?
Well, if you just listen for a second, I can try to teach you something real quick at home. So watch this. Let me
tell them to keep working, building the immunity.
Let me explain.
And I think
most people don't even know what contamination is.
I do think the vaccine might help, might not. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. It might not work at all. Towards the variant, it's not going to detect
Let me show you how cross-contamination works.
So that's why we're talking about the third booster
shot. You can only
around the world in Australia
sanitizer.
And Africa right now, they're on their fourth booster shot with two new viruses that are coming. Well, it's the same virus, it knows how to evolve itself to make itself survive. And I think this is the problem. We're dealing with a virus that has actually know how to been able to manipulate, and I believe it was created in the lab to do that. I do believe that's true. So we're dealing with something that we don't even have a clue, and the people actually left out don't even know have a clue to stop it either. So what we have to
I see that you still have your morbid way of thinking, and there's no way to save when I'm trying to tell you you're absolutely wrong, because the truth of the matter is with proper hand washing and people actually being clean, it really showed me how nasty people really are.
Now, you do want to fly.
That's what it does. It shows, like, I mean, if you want to go through the whole we all going to die from COVID, I mean, it is what it is. This dude been talking like that forever.
You still have to put work in to protect protect your well-being, your family, and drinking things that's going to help make you healthy and build your immune system. And I think that's what Nikki was saying in all of it, everything she said. And I think that's what the word and that's what needs to be put out there. I think that's what needs to be put out there, and I think that will stop most confused. Maybe some of the people who won't take the vaccine hear that.
Goddamn, can you hear?
Right to them. They'll say, yeah, I understand what this person saying, and now I can see myself maybe just taking the risk of taking the vaccine and still working on things and trying to flush myself out with other things like, you know, water and getting a lot of apple juice or whatever it can do to build my immune system. So I will definitely like to pass the ball. Six Rise, you still there? Because I think I'm glad that we had this conversation, and I think that this conversation should go more. Because the more we stay out here, the more people hear the media, the news, the more confused they get, the more they feel if they do get sick that they believe they're going to be sick. And that's because of all the misinformation and all the mass confusion that's going on with the information that's out there for the variant, the COVID-19, and the virus itself, and the vaccine.
All right.
Nikki, you have anything else you want to say?
Yes, I do. Ernest T., are you still there?
All right. Six Eyes. Can you hear me, sir? Nikki, anybody? Y'all still there?
Sound like we lost Six for a minute. Can you hear me, ATL?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can hear you. You can go ahead and speak, too, because I just think that these things have to be said out here, because, I mean, there's people right now who are desperate right now trying to hear some positive stuff and not hear all the other garbage that's being put out there.
Well, me, myself, man, I had COVID twice. I got the vaccine. I am a dialysis patient. And the reason why I took the vaccine, because I am a dialysis patient, I went through it and came out of it. And I also believe it is a mental thing, too, as well. You know, when you feel like you're sick and you think you're going to be sick, you're going to be sick. So if your mind is strong enough and your body is strong enough and you're taking your right immune system stuff to keep your immune system up, yeah, you can come out of it. But everybody don't have that will. You know what I mean? And I believe it's all up to your strength in your mind and strength in your body to come out of it. So, and I'm saying it because I've been through it twice. You know what I'm saying, ADL? So,
right. Yeah, and I believe you, and I think that is a fact, and I think that that's why I want people to hear you guys. That's a great testimony you stand because people need to hear that, and you're still here. And I think Nikki hit it around the head, and I have to say this too, is that if you believe that you're going to be sick, you're going to be sick because you tell your body to shut down, and that's something that a lot of us don't understand. That we our body responds to how we respond from our mind. If our mind tells our body to shut down, it will shut down.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I think that's a key. That is a very key element in this vaccine, in this virus, that a lot of people are not really taking there. And this is the professional. Like I said, on top people, I believe they have the answers. They coming up, but it's just so much stuff out here. There's so much of distractions that it just. It just stuff don't make people feel comfortable. And, I mean, I have people calling me who won't refuse to be vaccinated, and they feel that it's against the law. They feel mandatory something like this is wrong. And I do agree with them. I think that it takes away your freedom if you tell people to say something. But at the same time, we do have a problem where this variant does spread around to other people. And if the vaccine – and as far as I'm listening to professionals, and they're not really giving good information, but at one time they were saying it's better to have something to help than have something not at all help, and you lose your life. So, again, you have to look at it from there.
All right. Go ahead.
I can let you see.
So I'm back. My call dropped. I hope everybody's still with us. I hope we got some new people here. So Nikki is going to tell us about cross-contamination. You have the floor, Nikki. Go ahead.
So when people usually think about cross-contamination, the first thing they think is food, like raw food touching cooked food, or you touch raw food and don't wash your hands and touch cooked food. No. I can take you through where, so right when a person grabs their mask, if that mask did not come from a fresh box of masks, we instantly have a problem. But it really goes where you walk in, you have to wash your hands. Once you wash your hands, once you retouch your knob in the bathroom, you have contaminated your hands.
Yeah.
Once you touch the knob going out the bathroom door, you have contaminated your hands. Once you touch anything your hand touched, after you wash your hands, you're now contaminated. Then you take your mask and put that on your face. You touch the door to walk outside to go to your car. You can touch your keys. These are all contaminated items. Your doorknob to get into your car. Your steering wheel is contaminated. The knob to get out of the car. To go into the store, you have to touch the door to the store. These are all contaminated things. And in between every item, you're supposed to wash your hands. I know people are using hand sanitizer. Well, you can only use hand sanitizer 4 times before you need to wash your hands again.
Really?
So you can only use, after a while, it doesn't work anymore. You have to actually wash. We can use hand sanitizer 4 times, and then we have to wash our hands.
Or if you're not around the sink.
Then you're going to be talking to
me. I didn't even know that one. I did not know that one at all. So, basically, but hand sanitizer only lasts for a amount of time before you have to go back and wash your hands. So
you have to use anti-gel.
There's a lot of. But let me ask you.
So you have the whole world touching things, and
what?
You know, money, hands, things. So then you touch the door, and then as soon as you touch the door to your car, you touch the door to the store. You touch the door. You come out the store. You touch the door to your car. You get in your car. What do? You instantly take your nasty, dirty hands, put them to your face, take off the mask, put the mask down.
So do you think people are giving themselves COVID so people are giving themselves COVID, not thinking about it. Let's say
no. Actually, it's like everybody's getting each other the flu. It's like everybody's meant to get sick, though. That's what people are not realizing. They're still you're meant to be sick. Like I feel like I had COVID in December of 19. Me, my son, and my grandson. It's a lot of people that felt like they had it before it came out in March. And I knew I was sick, but I was like, something's going on. But I knew something was going on because I never get sick. So I knew this had to be something new and something creepy because I never get sick. I don't get sick. That's not what happens to me. So I also know that my body has to build the antibodies. You can drink probiotics to help try to build up your antibodies and things of that nature. However, you know, you can't fight getting sick. Like, that's just like everybody usually catch what? A summer cold. Everybody hates it. Everybody, I usually get one summer cold. Or, you know, you might get that one cold in the winter. So you have people that actually, you know, you have some people that are what? They're sickly. So they have to wrap up. And so you, I mean, they just gave something a name and then they sensationalized it. So it made you feel like it was the King Kong of illnesses.
You when I spoke.
So, but it's not, I'm sorry, it's just not that. But when it comes to anything else, the most I can say is alcohol is some of the best. It's alcohol, for real. Wipe down your doorknobs and stuff with alcohol. Anything that you'll touch, keep it wiped down with alcohol if you have company. The truth is your germs are your own germs. Make sure you practice good hand washing skills. If you're going, once you use the bathroom, wash your hands. If you go touch your door, you go outside, as soon as you come in the house, wash your hands. Make sure you keep your, spray your knobs off with, you can, it's the easiest way is spray your stuff down with alcohol.
Yeah.
Alcohol is a sterilizer and not a disinfectant. It sterilizes, you know, so being sterile is better than being disinfected. So,
that's right.
You know, so what I can say is, like I said, people have to be a little bit cleaner. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Spray your shit down in alcohol, your phone, your refrigerator doors, your bathroom knobs, your sink knobs, you know, things of that nature. If you're going to the laundromat, carry you some alk spray, little spray bottles of alcohol, spray down, you know, where people touch, you know. You have if you want to be that OCD, you can. But the truth is, hey, just do yourself better and you won't be so mad. If you catch it, like I heard the gentleman say, I caught it twice. Like, I'm okay. Like, the survival rate is up to 99%. Like, you don't have to die. Like, unless you were already going to die.
Nick, before you get too far away from this, you just said everyone to wash everything with alcohol. What's the rate of time and how long should they be doing that rate to keep themselves, their family and friends safe in their household? Because I think when I'm listening to it, and I'm just telling you this on my opinion, it seems like it's a lot more and it's more time consuming. So if you're somebody who's working a full shift and let's say you come home and you know, wife and the husband and you know, the old father for the house and you're not mostly in the home, your children, you're trying to tell a child to do this, and the child don't understand that this is more of a chore to them to put more pressure on them. Those things.
Well, I don't know what to tell irresponsible people, ATL, because the truth is I'm at my sister's house, and my niece, she wasn't feeling too well. My sister went to work first shift. By the time she came home, I had bleached and washed down the dishes, wiped down all of the counters. We washed down all the walls. We washed down all the doorknobs. And with the light switches. So some things just should be a natural part of life. I can't tell people how, but cleanliness is next to godliness.
Right,
and if
right,
getting
right.
A spray bottle of alcohol, because I didn't say wash.
I
said, hold on, I didn't say wash. I said spray. They have spray bottles that you can put alcohol in. And to spray, it's that hard to spray a doorknob. You don't even have to wipe it. You can just spray it. So if people are that concerned about their health, I would think wiping down my stuff and alcohol would matter. If they're not that, I mean, I don't know because I live a lifestyle. This is something that, you know what I'm saying? I can just say the lifestyle I live when I'm concerned, you know. If I see that, you know, if I try to keep things a little disinfectant and sterile environment. I feel like if someone gets sick, it needs to be a little more sterile. But, you know, most of us are going to be surrounded by germs. We're not bubble people. You know what I'm saying? So people have to go about what makes them comfortable.
But I feel it's what, great information. And I think people have, it's a new word. I mean, it's not new, but it's something now that I can tell people about cross-contamination, because that is one of the key things that could be spreading, that we're not going to say could, it is spreading, and that's how people are getting sick. They're making excuses saying, okay, people might be not given the virus, it might be spreading because we're wearing the same masks and we're wearing the same outcome, and we're not doing enough that what you said contains.
But even the masks are not good for people to be wearing, because they're not wearing filtered masks, and people are re-breathing in their own carbon dioxide. That's why you're catching people that are wearing the mask fainting, because it's not even healthy to wear your mask that long. This is where there's problems. Like, being in the medical field and seeing this go outside, and it's just a big, people have to do whatever mentally helps them be sound. I suggest that people do whatever makes their heart say, I feel safe. That's exactly what they should do.
Yeah.
I agree. Anybody else got anything else to say, add on to that?
Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. On September 14th, the Six Eyes Radio Network turns 10 years old. So while I got the cast and the staff on the Six Eyes Radio Network, I want to thank you all. Hopefully we get another 10 years and another 10 years after that. And I want to thank you all. If anybody like to give some contribution to help keep this station going and to congratulate 10 years of success, you have two options. The Cash App is going to be $SIXEYES, digit number 2, the digit number 4. That is $SIXEYES, digit number 2, the digit number 4. For the PayPal users, that's going to be the email address, SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Whatever you give will be greatly appreciated. We hope this station bringing you great program in 10 years at Six Eyes Radio Network. We thank you. Now back to the show.
Well, it's me, DJ ATL. I just got to let you guys know the day after this place, that's my birthday. I'm the 15th, baby, so that's my birthday on the 15th. I've been here 48 years, young, 48 years, going through transition of life, and it's interesting, and to be here in this time period is very interesting, and I know from me growing and from North Carolina, living in North Carolina, South Carolina, Charleston, so I mean, I could just go all Georgia, Atlanta, Philadelphia, I could go Manhattan, Germany, I could go all Korea, I can live in so many different places, I can see and talk, but I'll say one thing that I've learned in the last 10 months with this COVID-19 is that I realized how values are very important. Values are very important on this, because I think the reason why we're having so much a communication breakdown and we have people do things that they shouldn't be doing is because the values are very awfully. I tell people who always ask me this question about God, and I always tell people it's whatever the friction you was with God and whatever you feel inside you, because I feel God speaks to people or do whatever you in, how you communicate with them is in your own way. I believe that is it. We were created. We're not the ones who made the creation. We were created here. And a lot of times I feel that when we start getting into God conversations and deep conversations with people, I always hear people always want to say whether it's Jesus or whether it's this and whether it's that. But that's between you and God. And I think that you have to have some kind of open dialogue with something that you feel is the higher power to make your life complete. Now, the reason why I'm bringing up this conversation and what talk about this is I heard a great statement now that's been put out around the world. And do we have in this world, in planet Earth, do we have a lot of people taking that take things for granted and they're useful people? So that question is asked to me. Lewis, DJ ATL, Atlanta Sales, DJ Lovin' Lewis, Midnight Youth. Do you think there is useless people in America or useless people in this world? And
well,
I
anybody, this,
that, and I do have an answer for that. And I'm going to say
this is
that there's, oh, go ahead. Do someone else want to say it before I say it? Go ahead.
Oh, this is Six Eyes. I feel anybody can be used. Whatever you want to do out of life, you have to apply yourself. If you don't apply yourself, yeah, you're useless.
And I'm glad you said that in that form. And that's the form that when we talk about the society of what's going on. But my theory is that everybody has a point of being, because God is the creator Omega. Because I come back to God, regardless of whether you're a spirit, higher word, man or woman, whatever we think this higher power is, it put us here. And it put us here for some kind of purpose. We don't know that purpose, but we're here, and we're in this system in a time. And I believe that we have to look at it from that point of view. And so for someone to say someone's useful, a useful person, you don't have the right, because you are not that entity of that entity. You are part of that entity that was sent here to live, but you didn't create the whole society. You didn't create what life is. So, and where the creator is or whatever the higher power is, if that's where it needs to be left at. But when it comes to what you just said as far as useful people, not everybody doesn't have to be. Yeah, I think everyone has a choice, too, if they want to be useful and they don't want to be useful. So that is another thing that he does give over us. So there is consequences to that, but there is you have a choice. And this is something I know I don't like to stand on with Nikki, as Nikki talks about this and thinks that this, and I think that a lot of times people here in the United States with the Catholic Church, the Christian Church, they get lost when we start talking, and the talking point is all over the place, and there's other things going on, and you can't never hear them speak on, but you hear them speak on stuff that's foolishness. And it sounds foolishness when you got these other things going. So that's why I tell people most of the time, someone had asked the question from a Christian level, what came first, an egg or the chicken? And
I don't know. Let's rest our brains and listen to some music, and we'll be right back with more conversation. Here's the theme for Always Set on Black, Nikki's favorite song.
And the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. When the day that ladder hit seemed impossible to be, when someone else is there, always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be
All right, that is Nikki Duckworth's favorite song, and that was the theme song for Always Bet on Black.
It ain't my favorite. It's just a really dope song, though.
You like it? All right.
You know, I really worked this. So we are supposed to keep our brain at a certain hertz, like we're energetic beings, and so we are what we ingest and listen to, and we're, you know, we're really just sponges of what we ingest. That's why they tell us we have to eat. And so just a happy song. Like, it's a happy song. So you have to try to remember to put those positive vibes into your body, you know?
Yeah. Now, my father, that's going on to glory, we talked about that song. And now we talked about that song, Lovely Day. Now, he said, do you think somebody could hold a note that long? And I don't think so. So I think the way they did that song, they sustained it and held the note out electronically. What do you think?
Bill Withers was raw, and may he rest his soul, rest in peace. That was one of my favorite songs.
So you think Bill? Do you think Bill Withers held that note out all the way?
I've seen yes.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he did that
absolutely
live.
Wow.
Yeah.
He did it live. I've watched him sing that live. Absolutely, he did that.
All right, Dad. So we just got the answer. He actually sang that song because we kept wondering. I said, I don't know.
Wow. Some people are just amazing freaks of nature, and that's how you know they're meant to do what they do. And he was amazing with what he did, and that's why I said, you know, I was sad when he kind of left us. But he left us some dope stuff, so.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And everybody wondering where I get my musical knowledge from, that would be Papa Six Eyes. Thank you.
And
you
know,
well,
we're going
to go into
my father when you
now,
come here.
Before we get out of here, I do want to come back, but I'm going to go ahead and play Drake's Fancy right quick, and then we'll come back and try to close the show out and hope that this conversation.
Hey, ATL, brother, I got something even better for you. Got something even better. Hold that fancy real quick. Hold on. Got something better for you.
Okay, go ahead.
We stepping up. This is 6 Eyes Radio Network, damn it. Here's new lover boy, Drake. I love y'all, too.
I've been hot since the birth of my son. I remain unfazed, trust work has been done. Man, fuck evaluation, show me personal funds. It's the pretty boys versus the petty boys. Sold that already, got a whole new set of toys. Shit is so surreal, Drizzy Drake, you better enjoy. Nothing else bigger than the OVO Letterman boys. Cash me in this for the nighttime boat rides. Ollie got the first edition part of Roadside. The only sign of struggling is coming from those guys. I'm trying to just relay what I can see through my own eyes. And nothing tell the truth like the eyes will.
Not
so much for us don't remember how I feel. Friends in high places and friends that are high still. Still manage to moonwalk straight through a minefield. And then I come back to tell you how that feels. Built this house for a song, painting my back still. Niggas gassed up, you couldn't pay the
light bill.
Champagne poetry. Beat to the effortless flow. Supposedly something else is controlling me. Under a picture's lips, some of the greatest quotes for me. Under me, I see all the people that claim they over me. And above me, I see nobody. I'd have to be dead for them to say that you took it from me. The 20% of you that we own is my sister's money. Nigga, I'm wildin' with the bread, you owe it to me. DJ grab racks out the bag and throw it to me. They don't want a problem with the boy, but it's going to be. Trusting my brothers is as strong as I know it to be. You just signed a contract, you don't even show it to me. I don't have to second guess nothing with no one I love. About to build a second guess, how is it growing too much? Think I gotta scare the love back.
What you mean to me?
Yeah.
The city's on fire and people are in denial. Charges being labeled, we'll see what they do at trial. I'm calling this shit from now. Sweetheart deals that the judges been handed down. I haven't been able to see family for a while. That shit is wearing me out. I used to hide my pain in Delilah behind the bar till my niggas tearing me out. And if money's all I need in my grave, then bury me now. I know I tend to talk about how I got a fortune on me, but with that comes the politics the city been forcing on me. Man, I can't even RIP and show my remorse to the homie. No, I carry the guilt of the city's misfortunes on me. I even got the cleanest stab plot and extortion on me. My parents' divorces on me. My therapist's voice is making the choices for me. And I always censor myself, cause no matter what they reporting on me, the pressure is weighing on me. Career's going great, but now the rest of me's fading slowly. My soulmate somewhere out in the world just waiting on me. My chef got a recipe for disaster baking slowly. My heart feels vacant and lonely, but still, I'm making the most of this shit and more. Every single move is like rolling dice on a board. See too many brothers get 25 from the boys. I'd rather see all of them get 25 from the Lord. And if the last negotiation makes you pay me 25, well, this is the perfect time to give me 25 more. I'm bigger now than before. Co-parent of the year, we figured out a rapport. No fear with Drizzy made on the second leg of the tour. How can anybody tell you the truth when they misinformed? How the niggas turning up when you turn you in for rewards? How the fuck do we manage to win everything but awards? Swindle the opportunity, let me go through the doors. This the part where I don't ever say part of me anymore. This the part where I'ma find a new part of me to explore. This the part where all my partners know what we in it for. This the part where we gon' throw us a party after the war. And if the last negotiation had you feeling out of
power, hear that? Hear that? Great.
Yeah.
And the Six Eyes Radio Network is available on Apple Music. All you got to do is say play Six Eyes Radio. And we pull right up, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, coming right in. Want me to? We're going to go ahead and...
And Duckworth made a couple of beats, too. And make sure y'all get that album. Certified Lover Boy Drake and my homeboy Kanye with his album Donda for Donda West. Rest in peace.
Yes. So all my sons worldwide, all my juniors, I apologize for asking. I know I left you without a name to drop. I don't know how it's crazy you get to the cloud up and get some money up, but don't worry. Daddy's home.
Hey, the cockiness.
Yeah. Niggas know they need to stop. I'm standing at the top. That pie, no, you never seen the top. Dear King parking lot, looking like that city parking lot. Hear the talks when I walk by, like you know so many drums, they drop. Yeah, and I'm coming with the wop. Y'all niggas not popping. Fucking empty going shopping. Whoa, I'm running out of ops. They're running out of options. Put them up for adoption. Got my name on the top. This is not love, baby. This no four. Leave no horseshoe. I'm in the bank looking for you. I'm in New York on John Tesh. Supermodels and they all sex. Lock the door to the bathroom. They doing something that is not pesky. I'm exploring up the shot. I remember that I told y'all I missed it. I was kind of like a mad sex. I remember that I told y'all I loved you. That was really in the past tense. I remember that I told y'all I get you. Two fears that I get around. Mention having us a kid. 42 hit. I send a kid around. Yeah. On bitter dick with the top down.
And we're going to have to do this whole album, APL.
For a pop artist till they pop down. Used to want to throw the rock up. Niggas know how I rock now.
Hear me?
You know how I'm rocking now.
Yep, 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 yep.
Big owl, big birds forever.
What y'all think so far? What you think, Duckworth?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Huh? You fucking
yeah,
Drake?
You need to do that, man.
What you think, y'all?
Yeah, definitely. We got to do that one.
Yes, sir. What you think, Duck?
Yes.
You fuck with Drizzy? All right. Huh? You fuck with Drizzy? What you think?
It sound like noise.
It sound like noise.
Well, I'm going to definitely have the new album just dropped by Drake.
Yeah, we're going to get him on the show. Don't worry. We're going to get him on the show.
There's a lot of people drop some albums, Dollar Sign and DFN. There's a couple great albums that been dropped. The classic album, even Mr. Chick dropped the classic R&B album. So, and we also got some Lucky Day featuring Fire. So we got, there's some fire music out there right now that's being pushed.
Yeah.
So we definitely be getting
yeah.
into that on
yeah.
the show.
Yeah,
y'all make
smack,
man.
Yeah. And y'all make sure y'all, we're going to switch it a little bit, play my homeboy's new song that just dropped in at large.
But also,
so hold on.
We will also get ready to do a big interview here in the next couple of days, next couple of weeks. I will be having the legend Sunshine Man, Monday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Mr. Allison O'Neill. He will be joining me on a show on the 6 Hours Radio Network. We'll be doing an exclusive interview. We're going to talk about the whole music thing, the whole background, and, you know, he's doing a lot of music, and right now he's doing a lot of big things, and we're going to get a chance to talk to him about some of his projects. He's got future projects and some of his past projects, so we're definitely going to get to hear the man himself with Sunshine, which is a classic. I mean, he had a lot of classics, to be honest with you. I'm definitely going to get him on the air real soon. So that's in the works for 6 Hours Radio Network, but and plus a lot of other things, but I just don't want to hold our show up tonight. I know we got to get ready to come to the end of this show. Before I go, I like to give all the panel people in here a chance to speak. Do y'all have anything y'all like to say out there to the people? Anything y'all feel that's worth saying, that's inspiring and positive? I think that's where we need to keep this at, and definitely not on the negative end, so we can get people to keep trying to save their life and save the loved ones around them.
So I'm going to pass it to Six Eyes, and y'all go from there. Who else wants to go after Six Eyes?
All right.
So, who's going? Six, I hit you.
She's always been like that. She's just a brainiac. So I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be right back. 7 days a week, the Six Eyes Radio Network. Tuesday is the 10th anniversary, so y'all call in, show some love, give some contributions. Hey, we appreciate you. And we'll be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern for the Six Eyes Gospel Show. So I want to thank everybody that called in. Duckworth, welcome back. ATL, Sean, rest of the world, Ernest T., we thank you. Good night from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
It's your boy, DJ ATL11 Styles. Don't be afraid of how you feel. Drop it, drop it, drop it. Bye.